Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Why, thank you, robot announcer voice. Welcome back, In This League. Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Be
in
this. We're league on right now. I don't believe you.
What's that? I don't believe you. Dude, I had the weirdest thing. It didn't happen to me. So I was at, where I live. It's not. I don't have to describe it where I live.
Give out the address.
I know. Yeah, definitely don't want to tell you where I live. But where I live, it's like it's a nice planned community that has this like little small town vibe. But it's not like a small town or anything like that.
It's where we put all the crazy people in Arizona.
That'd be fine if that was. I wouldn't care. But like, there's this little like a downtown that's inner. Like it's you know, you turn off. It's beautiful. And there's this little downtown. And there's like a couple stores in there. And there's a Basha. So I go to the store. Grab a couple of beverages for the wife and myself. And I'm just, standing, waiting for somebody to help me, standing in the line for a register. And this like big oaky dude just kind of walks by and there's plenty of room and he just knocks my hand cart thing. And he's just like, oh, sorry. And he just keeps going. I'm like,
I'm a monster.
Dude, you know me. He was like 6'6". Probably 350 pounds, and he was just like, oh, sorry, and he just keeps going.
No control in those extremities, so.
No, I mean, and he had all, I mean, it could have fit three more of him in the space. I'm just standing. It's like a huge aisle, so I look over, and I'm like, all right, buddy. And then I get to my register, and I'm, checking out, and there's like a, how the store has it set up, it's kind of weird because it's like a small town little store. Like, it's just a normal aisle that people line up in. And they wait for one of the three registers to grab them. You got like a vision of it? It's not a normal line you would
it's
have at a
like
register.
It's kind of like a self-checkout, but there's someone there.
Yeah, well, there's three registers, but everybody waits in this one section. Yeah. That's how you have to wait and you get in line. So there's like two people there and this kind of squirrely looking dude who's at the front. And I'm just about to check out and I hear, are you trying to check out? There's a line here. And I turn over and it's a squirrely guy who's like red-faced. And he is looking at the big ogre guy. And the ogre guy is in front of him. And there's three people in this line right now. And the ogre guy, the guy goes, are you, there's a line here. The ogre guy just turns his head. He looks at the guy. He stares at him for 3 seconds. And then he just walked into my lane as I left. And I was like, what a dick. I don't recall the last time I've seen somebody. This guy was Honey Badger. He didn't care about anything. He looked at this guy like, I could crush you. So I felt honored after that he apologized to me. I was like, wow, maybe he was scared or intimidated to me or something. But like he knocked my thing over, apologized. He cut in front of someone else and the guy said something and he gave him an FU stare.
He could feel the rage.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. So he's like, OK, I better say sorry to this guy.
What would you have done? Like, I felt like I would have lost it.
You remember I used to work at the grocery store, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I right when U-Scan came out, like the self-checkout stuff, right when that stuff came out, I was like one of the first people trained on it. So I'm running this line and it's like a couple days before Thanksgiving. So we just have a monster line everywhere. Like even the U-Scan is backed up towards like the deli department, which is way far away from the front of the store. And this guy does what Monster just did in your line, except for instead of just a squirrely looking dude, he cuts in front of a pregnant woman.
Ooh.
So I was like, none of that's going to work for you because you need to go to the back of the line. And he's like, what? I'm like, you just cut in front of this pregnant woman. You see this gigantic line here? It's like, I'm just buying a soda. I'm like, I don't give a crap what you're buying.
I wish you would have said this gigantic woman.
this gigantic woman. Do you see her? She's 9 months pregnant.
And then
the
guy tried to justify it after. Like, I'm just getting a soda.
Like, I'm just buying a soda or I'm just buying a beer or whatever. He's just buying one thing. And I'm like, I don't give a crap, dude. Go to the back of the line. You see all these people waiting. And so now people are starting to look. And he raised his hand up like he was going to like hit me. And I started to lunge at him. And my boss, who is 6'7", you know, 400 pounds, grabbed my shirt and pulled me away. He's like, okay, you go into the office and you get the F out of here. So and he pointed at the guy that was cutting in line. You get the F out of here. And then everybody starts to clap for my boss because I was about to deck this guy because he raised his hand like he was going to hit me and then just kind of stood there. So I was going in. And my boss grabbed me by the back of my shirt and pulled me away.
Where did people get off?
I was going to get fired over this. I mean, I was like 19. I didn't, you know, I was a little bit like Honey Badger at that point, too. You know, this was where I called in sick to go to Game 7 of the World Series, this grocery store. No big deal. I was there. But yeah, it was I had to sneak that in. But yeah, it was crazy. Just people have some balls, man. Yeah. They'll just do whatever they want.
It's just on my mind. It was just such a weird thing. Like the look that the ogre gave the squirrely guy, I was just like, wow, like you just don't care about anything. And I was like, something I did. I mean, I'm a big dude, so maybe he just didn't, you know, he wanted to.
Well, this guy was drunk. Like I couldn't tell what was going on until like I got up close to him, but I could, you know, smell liquor on him. So he was, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, dude. Awesome. It wasn't. Yeah, it was not late. You know, we were not on the late shift or anything.
Don't
so,
you know, Bogman, party doesn't recognize time. Party parties.
So does alcoholism. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, so welcome back. When we were leaving the last segment, the last hour, we were talking about Peter Alonso, and we were talking about him as a replacement for Matt Olson, which really sucks that we lost Matt Olson. But Peter Alonso is now in this space similar to Eloy Jimenez, where Jimenez was kind of priced in already. There's a major assumption, but, you know, like the gates are kind of open now that he signed this contract, even though that there's not a guarantee, you know, that he's going to open the season. Technically, he can't right now, by the way. He can't open the season with the major league team because of they dropped him to the minors. So there's a 10-day rule. So technically, he can't unless they injure somebody, which they could, you know, put someone on the IL. But, like, the gates were kind
mystery
of open.
Injury, that's going to happen for sure.
But, like, he was kind of priced in already. Like, I moved him up, I want to say, 15, 20 spots maybe from where he was now that, you know, we have some guarantees. But Peter Alonso wasn't really. Like, the built-in price was like, oh, we assume he's going to be up within the next month or two. And he's elite power and stuff. Now that he's making the opening day roster and they're going to mess with the service time, sure, Lowry coming back could affect some stuff. I just don't think it's going to. I think you can safely go in with him. So
well, I don't think you bring him up to send him back down in 10 days. Like he would have to really, really struggle.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's possible, but I think they're just going to go with it. I think they're going to go with the bat. And I don't know. The two hole seems like a really solid spot for him.
Do you have your first base rankings pulled up?
I can get them.
Yeah. Cause I want to know, like, where among first basemen you would have him, because we've talked about first base before and how it's, you know, not exactly the best that it's ever been this year. It's probably not as bad as, you know, anyone says or even we say, and because we know some guys are going to develop, some guys are going to play good at first base, and some guys are going to don't qualify at first base now that are going to this season. There's going to be a fill in that's good. But I'm just wondering where. Like, where among the first basemen you would put Peter Alonso?
Okay, well, this is perfect because I wanted to ask you a couple who'd you rathers, because what I think is interesting is there can be some players that you might rank above, but they might not be targets. And knowing that you can get Alonso might spark you. I'm going to ask you a couple guys here, and I think when you look at it, you're going to realize, well, I might have this guy over Alonso, but it might creep and you might kind of try to find a middle ground where it's like, well, I'm going to move Alonso up kind of knowing this and maybe this guy down. So here's a couple here. I'm going to start you with my 10th first baseman, and I count Rhys Hoskins right now, so he could be 9 if you're not counting him.
Okay.
Peter Alonso or Max Muncy?
Oh, God damn it. Mm-hmm. So I just looked at my list. I just moved him next to Muncy, and I'm like, do I want him above or below? That's like the exact guy that I have, but I have Muncy at 16.
Yeah, well, okay. So, I have Alonso. I'm just going to be honest with you. My first pass at doing it early yesterday, I moved Peter Alonso up to 17 in first baseman. If you don't count Reese Hoskins.
That's exactly where he would be for me, too.
Yeah. If you don't count Reese Hoskins, he'd be 16. I am counting him because he will be a first baseman.
So, I have Reese Hoskins in my first base, too. So.
Okay. So we both have. I have him at 17. I have Muncy higher. As I said, I've got him at 10. Even though I don't really have shares, a ton of shares of him, but there's some flexibility with him. Okay. So now I ask you, Peter Alonso or Max Muncy?
I think Muncy. No, slightly. And I, like I said, I have Muncy a little bit buried compared to you. I have him at 16 among my first basemen.
So I think it's going to be pretty tough then for me to pry anybody else. If Muncy's that low, I mean, maybe you're kind of counting it because like you've already buried him a little bit and you don't want to,
I had him decently high, Alonso already, because I had him at like, where'd I have him?
I originally had him at like
19, so I thought he was going to come up pretty early.
I had him about there. I don't think I had him too much further, maybe 21, but I had him right around 200 overall. But I moved him, let me look, where exactly did I move him in my top 300, which you can get over on patreon.com/ITLArmy. Yeah, he's inside my top 150 now. That is where I have him. The Muncy one I think is interesting, even though I'm higher on him. So let me just press a couple other just to see where you're at. Peter Alonso or E5?
I got E5 ahead of him. I think too. The power is just always consistent for him.
Okay, so. This might be a better one. Peter Alonso or Joey Gallo?
No, I got Gallo ahead of him.
I know
too.
You have Gallo ahead of him, but I'm telling you, thinking about it, do you think Gallo's a guy that you would pass up to get Peter Alonso, or are you firm on Gallo?
See, this is... I think I would rather have Alonso knowing he's going to go later than Gallo, because there's always a Gallo person in the draft. Zero shares, by the way, of Gallo for me. So
I got
far
one or two.
Season. So I don't have any shares of Joey Gallo. So he's not a guy that I have been drafting. So I think if I'm drafting, I would rather have Alonso at value than I would have Joey Gallo. But I think in rankings, I got to put Gallo and his 40 homers ahead of Peter Alonso.
Okay, so then here are the two that I struggle with then. There's actually three. Okay. Peter Alonso or Miguel Cabrera?
I got Alonso ahead of Miggy.
I got Miggy ahead. That one's hard for me. Gallo, I keep saying Gallo. Peter Alonso or Miguel Cabrera? Or Profar. I'm having a stroke. I think I'm having a little stroke right now.
Do you smell toast?
I literally can't speak.
Is it toast? Is it burnt toast?
It's a little burnty. A little toasty.
Is it?
It's a little
burnty. Is it burning feathers? So, beavers and ducks.
Beavers and ducks. Pete Alonso or Jurickson Profar?
I got Profar ahead as well. So, I've got, it, for me, it goes Gallo, Desmond, Profar, Muncy, Alonso.
Okay, that Desmond was the last one I wanted to ask you. It was Desmond or Alonso. That Desmond or Alonso is actually the toughest one to me because I'm not as pro Desmond as everybody else right now. Profar I like because there's so much flexibility and putting him at second base is really nice. He just qualifies at first as well. So I'm not sure I want to move off of Profar, but Desmond is really tough. Like I think I might even move Alonso one more spot above and he would end up being my 16th because I'm just not as sold on Desmond.
I wouldn't mind that, to be honest with you. Like I love Desmond. I don't know that I've bought Desmond anywhere though. I think that someone has always swooped in with his because he's got that power speed combo. I don't know if I have any of him. I was just putting my shares sheet together the other night. I don't know if I got him anywhere. Maybe one share of Desmond so far this season.
I did it. I got him in mocks. I think I'm with you. I'm not sure I've got him anywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really like Desmond and I like drafting Desmond, but you know, it's the power speed combo. He's in Colorado. He is the one guy that seems to never get the, yeah, but he's in Colorado. We just seem to never get that from him. It's like, yeah, but, you know, he's Ian Desmond. He's going to hit for average.
Yeah, well, everybody, but with Ian Desmond, I think everybody, I mean, rightfully so, because he's done it. It's just like, well, he's just a 2020 guy, no matter what. Like, that's all we go with. He's just 2020.
I don't know that he is, though. Like,
I agree.
I don't know that he is 2020. I would say I would, if he's healthy the whole year, I would probably lock him in for 15-15. So, and I think his average is going to come up off of 236 or whatever it was last year. So, yeah, 236. But, you know, he scored 82 runs, drove in 88, stole 20, hit 20 bombs. Like, we know Alonso's not stealing bases. So, like, the reasonable – this is why people love the young players, too, is because the reasonable range of outcomes is that Peter Alonso could end up being a top 10 first baseman. I don't think too many people would be – shocked by that. We might be surprised. We might say, well, you know, coming into the year, we didn't think he's going to make the roster, but he did. He hit in front of Robinson Cano for the majority of the year. He hit some bombs. He scored a bunch of runs. He drove in some runs. He was much better than we thought, so he ended up top 10. Or he could struggle for a month and a half. Jed Lowry comes back off the DL, or maybe even Jed Lowry comes back sooner and they leave Alonso up, but he struggles early and they send him back down. So he has such a wide range of projections. I don't see him, you know, I don't see him going back down, but I have to take some of these solid players I know are good ahead of him before I take that reach. And it also depends on what I've done in my draft, which is one of the reasons why I don't like rankings that much.
I just think
I'm
he's
more than
cost,
willing to take the risk.
I think so. He's cost efficient, and that's
too.
The thing. Because I look at his projections. I think projections are – I think they're still low on him, and maybe that's me being the stupid optimist who's just seen him and fallen in love. Steamer has 119 games, 25 homers, and 242 average. I think
well,
these
they
were done.
Updated
yeah, they haven't updated. I think Peter Alonso is a 30-homer guy. But I know
did
the average
– Did the bat change for him at all?
130 games, 22 homers, 220 average. They're very low. I would actually say the bat is aggressively low on Peter Alonso. I'm not as aggressively low. I think I wouldn't be surprised at a Cody Bellinger-type outcome for a season in a short, you know, just like he had before, you know, a short run of successful power that can go in some spurts. And the idea to get a 30-plus home run guy that has some decent average and a good offense, I like that over the prospects of just trying to pay for a few stolen bases with Desmond, who I think isn't any safer in average. So I like me some Peter Alonso.
You put that not very nicely.
I didn't. No. Sorry. Well, I'm going to put something else not very nicely. It's going to be a first baseman we're going to talk about when we get back here. So don't go anywhere. It's Boggan Welsh. It's In This League. We're going to talk about Paul Goldschmidt.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
That's right, In This League, InThisLeague.com, and very well-respected authors, what I like to say. How many books have you sold in the last week?
Two.
We sold like six. It's like the final weekend. We put our
heart. It's a collector's item.
It is so. A total. We should have just issued 1 to 300 or something like that. but we did put a book together, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. I mean, if you just want a cool collector's item at this point, or you want to track them during the season, I know there are some people that are out there going to be tracking some of the debates. But, yeah, it's kind of done. It's kind of over with. We haven't had a physical paperback sold in, like, 5 days because people are just buying the ebook, which you can do. You can buy the ebook over the PDF version at InThisLeague.com, or if you go on Amazon, you can get the Kindle version, and you'll also find the paperback. No waiting. You get it instantly.
Instantly.
All the debates. Judged by all the cool and awesome people in the industry that do big, popular, important things. And have
That's
a big...
Right.
popular important announcements like DVR going to The Athletic.
Right. I mean, or the Atlantic, if you're the Welsh and it's early.
So. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, he's going to the Atlantic, huh? Are we going to see an expose from DVR pretty soon or what?
That's so funny. It was only like for like 3 minutes. DVR DM'd me. He's like, yo, hey, I just want to let you know you tagged the Atlantic. And I was like, no, I didn't. I looked and I was like, I deleted the tweet. And then I was like, dude, I don't even know what the Atlantic is beside an ocean. So I don't even know what I tagged. So
It's like a respected paper, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, not like us. I don't know anything respected, authors or papers, because I'm not involved in any of it. But DVR's in the book, and he just had a cool announcement where he joined The Athletic, and we do an interview with him. You can check it out. But him and all the other cool people, they're in the book, and you can still go check it out if you want, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. And while you're at it, check us out over on patreon.com/ITL Army. That is where all the madness is going to be happening. Going to be a lot of eggplant emojis later this week on opening day. Lots of eggplant emojis in our group me rooms as the Dong Watch starts to happen.
Dong Watch 2019. Let's go.
Eggplant official. So
Domingo Santana, by the way, did you see Rob Silver's tweet?
No.
Domingo Santana went 10th round in one of his drafts after he hit that bomb in Japan.
Oh, my. Well, but I mean, what was that? Like a 15 man?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not that bad.
It's not that good.
Yeah, but that's like 150. That's not great. In a 12-man, that's crazy. That's like a $1.20. In a 15-man, I don't know, man. That's like a $1.50, $1.55. I got him ranked around like 180, 190.
I just have to see where he is on Fantrax real quick. Domingo. Well, he's not in the top 200. So, but his ADP.
Looking at ADP?
Yeah, I'm looking at ADP. So let me just take a look here. Domingo. Okay. He he was going at 300.
When?
299. That's his average for the offseason. It's 299. That's his ADP.
I mean, can you chop it?
No, I can't on this. I tell you what, I'll go look at NFBC while we're ranting.
Okay, yeah, that's what we're going to do here. So we were in the midst of our episode recording it with, I think we had just finished up with
Stupid
Nick
Stupid post. Go cry in your mirror.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk. I think we're going to talk about some of the details of it in This League Baseball podcast coming up this week. So be on the lookout for that. It'll be our shares episode. We'll talk about some of the crazy Twitter stuff that happened, but we're at the end of the episode. We're trying to answer some questions. And the Goldie news comes down that he's signing an extension. And you can physically hear it. And I there's some good audio clips I put in it. I put like a, Houston, we have a problem. I put that in there. And you can listen to it. But Goldie signs an extension with the Cardinals for $130 million on 5 years. And we just start to lose it. Now, we didn't lose it like we did on our emergency podcast when Goldie was traded, which is infamous now in our little universe. We didn't quite get there, but we were baffled. And you just couldn't do it. You had stuff to do, and you couldn't process getting into it. And I was like, all right, fine. And we had already, this is already like a 2-hour-plus podcast. So it gets done, and you're like, I just got to go. And I'm kind of sitting there, and I go to get lunch. And then I just go. And I put my rant on Twitter. I don't know how many tweets. I think it was 20 plus tweets. I went in on everything. I went on how stupid it is. I went in on the dumb decisions the Diamondbacks have made. I got a lot of likes. The most popular one of all of them, ironically, by the way, your comment you were making where one guy, there was only one person just hated my take. And it was the most popular of all of them that I had, where I said in 2014, the Diamondbacks signed Yosmani Tomas to a $68 million contract. In 2019, the Diamondbacks would not pay Paul Goldschmidt $130 million. And that one was like 100-plus likes and people retweeting and lots of comments, except the one guy who he told me there was no relevance to it. He said there's no relevance to it.
I mean, what a dumbass take, by the way. There's no relevance to it. Well, how about we were about what was the difference? Because you said to stay in Arizona, they were saying that he had to have $200 million instead of 130 or whatever it was, or 150. Well, that is a Yasmani Tomas contract.
Yeah.
If we just get rid of that contract, we cover the rest, even if we do have to pay him more than St. Louis.
Well, there's so many things to it that, I mean, the guy's an idiot, because I was trying to prove that, you know, think of money in 2014, not that it's that far off, but they paid almost $70 million to give money to Moss, who never played. They couldn't pay double that for an MVP Gold Glover. And Yosemite Tomas also cost them, essentially. And then many people came in and wanted to make an argument, well, you know, according to local media and stuff in Arizona, that they're saying that it was $200 million. Well, that's not a case you're making here. What that means is Paul Goldschmidt acknowledges what a garbage organization the Diamondbacks are, and he needed a $70 million premium. So either he gave the Cardinals a hometown discount, which is hilariously stupid because he's never played or been in St. Louis outside of, you know, some occasional trips. He hasn't played games in there. He gave him a hometown discount that he wouldn't do to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who he said he loved, the team that he started with, and because they're so poorly run. The Diamondbacks are a joke. When that contract got signed, I just lost it. I lost it. And you can go look at my thread at Is It the Welsh and stuff like that. But it was insane. The one thing that people didn't get, though, and maybe you'll be more heated about it on the pod this week, is really your take too much on it, because it's all real now. Like before, you kept trying to be like, it's not real, but it's real. $130 million it costs to keep Paul Goldschmidt, which in the climate of what's going on right now in baseball is a freaking deal. Everybody's signing a contract extension right now. Everybody is getting paid. Paul Goldschmidt is a smoking deal.
If you're saying that you're in it, right? And I know that the difference between being in it and not in it isn't always huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
it's not being in it or in it.
It's usually a player like Paul Goldschmidt. But they're trying to trade off Greinke this whole offseason. Couldn't get it done. So they trade off Paul Goldschmidt. I was already pissed off at the return that we got for Paul Goldschmidt, because
that's hilarious. Stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's Luke Weaver. It's Carson Kelly. We even had Brad Ziegler on our Black Book show, and he was talking about how surprised he was. He said, I know these guys are decent prospects, but they're a reason why they were down. Most people were down on them.
Dude, can you imagine? I think I tweeted about this. Can you imagine? This was Wednesday night. We recorded former Diamondbacks closer, Brad Ziegler. You know, we're with Pisapia. Pisapia's got some like nice question about, what do you think about the state of closers? And Bogman's like, hey, well, how are your shares this year? And I'm like, let's talk about Paul Goldschmidt. I was just going in. And this was before the contract extension right. happened. I wanted to get his take on the Diamondbacks as a whole, and I was trying to press him. And he gave us some stuff. He actually gave us some really cool anecdotes about Paul and how much he loved Paul. And you're right, he was kind of like, we were shocked. He said he was sitting at dinner when it happened, and he was shocked that it happened. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke that the Diamondbacks let this happen. Can you imagine, though, poor Brad, if that had happened? I just wouldn't have been able to contain myself.
Yeah, I mean, it would have had to have been like, I would have had to say, Joe, look, we just can't have him on now. Like, or this needs to be a Joe Pisapia interview, you know, without us. Like,
yeah,
we're not going to be
like
able
he loves to
this.
Do.
So, but it's just, you know, it doesn't make any sense, because if that's the deal that they could have signed him for, I know they don't want to go over the top and spend all kinds of money, but this is a deal that would have been affordable for the Diamondbacks.
It's about spending the right money, and the Diamondbacks don't know how to spend
deal.
The right money.
Like, it's not a 10-year deal. It's a 5-year deal. Huh. And I think you could have gotten him to take that here. And I feel like they didn't even ask him.
There's no way it looks good for the Diamondbacks.
There's no way they asked him. And if they did and he said $200 million, then come out and say that.
But Bugs, there's no way it looks good. If they either didn't ask him, which is hysterically stupid, they did ask him, and he said he wants $200 million, which is a slap in the face of the organization because they're so mismanaged. There's no way the Diamondbacks look good. They are, I mean, and I guess, you know, people could say, oh, there's a no-win situation for them. Well, there is. Do the right thing. Make it happen. Stop making such horrible moves across the board. And don't let a Gold Glove first baseman who's a perennial MVP candidate to go to another NL team that is clearly better than you now. And now he's just re-signed.
The thing that pisses me off the most about this is, if this was your position the whole time as the Diamondbacks, like, you know, you're not going to get him. You either need to trade him now or he's gone. I can understand that. I can understand drawing a hard line saying, like, look, we're not going to be able to spend $25 million a year for this guy, so we're just not going to do it. But why wouldn't you push all your chips in last year when everything was going great and trade for Manny Machado? You know, I understand they don't want to trade Duplantier. They don't want to trade any of their prospects because the system isn't good. But who cares? Like, if your window is closing, you know you're not going to have this guy beyond next year. Why not push everything all in and do every single thing you possibly can to win this past year? Why didn't you do that?
Well, the team is stupid. You know? They're dumb and they're stupid. And everything you look at it, look at Manny Machado going out, and it's costing him, what, 10 years? It's 10 years to get the money that he wants on a per-year basis. 12 years for Bryce Harper. Only 5 years. Hysterically, the Diamondbacks, not that anyone cares about this, I suppose, but, you know, the Diamondbacks are, they want to claim themselves to be this mid-market team. Oh, we don't have the budget of the teams, you know. Like, all these other guys, these teams are doing the smart thing. You know, Houston's locking up Alex Bregman. Boston just locked in Chris Sale on a contract extension. Teams are signing their good players. The Diamondbacks would cry foul because, well, we're a mid-market team, but, you know, we don't have the money to be able to do this, blah, 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 blah. Even though they signed a $1.5 billion television contract and, you know, they gave $34 million to Zach Greinke, they'd be like, well, you know, Greinke's the reason. All of that is a joke because guess what?
Well, that was part of it. But that if you're hysterically pushing all in, but that's also part of going halfway.
But if you're a hysterically stupid mid-market team, you also are going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble bringing in free agents. That's what you're going to do. This is why they made such a big deal about Greinke, because they can't bring in free agents. Why would you let an affordable 5-year contract, which you don't get that in the market right now. You don't get that for all-star caliber players. You're going to do 10 years for an affordable contract. The team botched it. The Diamondbacks are hysterically stupid, and it's hard to root for them. It's hard to root for them. Nobody on the East Coast that's listening to this gives two craps about any of this. But
I mean, this is the same thing when people ran about the Knicks or the Browns or, you know, a team that has been bad for a long time. And, you know, we should be so lucky. You know, the Diamondbacks have made the playoffs in the last 5 years.
Diamondbacks are like the Orioles right now. That's the problem. They're like the Orioles. People can process that. The Orioles, who have, you know, they've had a team, but they've just mismanaged everything. They don't have any international element to their system. They're bad with drafting prospects. They've mismanaged their starting pitchers. The Diamondbacks are just another version of that. And their version is they make all the wrong moves. They make all the wrong moves, and they get to sit on their laurels of a couple players that overperform. Guys like David Peralta, you know, they walk into a good trade with a player like Eduardo Escobar. The team's a joke. And the Paul Goldschmidt thing is an absolute joke, and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, I think, when we look at baseball as a whole and we see the 5 or 6 teams that are so damn good continuously make all the right moves and have all the breaks. Teams like the Yankees, teams like the Astros locking up Bregman. You know, all like, hey, shocker, Red Sox and the Astros, they're the ones that are locking in their guys.
Yankees. And the Dodgers, like, you can't even count those teams.
But you should be able to.
You should be able to, but you can't, because those teams just print money. Like, they're in the biggest markets. They print money. It's not a problem.
Then why would an a-hole mid-market team get rid of their burgeoning star? Why would they do that? I mean, I guess the same thing could be said about Marlins. Why would you get rid of all of your guys? Because you're not going to pay anybody. You want to have a roster of $20 million?
To be honest, I would have not traded him for these guys. And look, you know, we got to get to the point sometime here to say, like, look, it's not Luke Weaver's fault he got traded for Goldie, right? Like, we can root for Luke Weaver and try to not think about Paul
Goldschmidt. Can root for Luke Weaver, but you can't root for the Diamondbacks. I think that's ultimately the problem I'm having. It's not about Luke Weaver, Carson Kelly, or any of these other losers that are on this team now.
Well, it's tough, and it's like I said, I haven't I don't want to give them my money. I haven't gone to a Diamondback spring training game once this year, and that's never happened for me. And I also haven't gone into Salt River Field. I don't want to give them my money. I'm not going to pay for an opening day ticket. If you can get us one through your regular job, great. If not, I ain't paying for one. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give them my money because this mismanagement pisses me off.
How much do you think, by the way, too?
Plus, the whole stadium thing. You know, that we haven't even mentioned that.
Well,
that's
yeah,
part
they threatened
management too.
Yeah, they threatened. They threatened to move the team, and they're like, "No, we didn't do that. Don't worry about that. Everything's a joke." But how much do you think you're going to catch yourself this year? By the way, just tuning around. You know, you get the baseball package. You always have the big baseball package. How much do you think you're actually going to be locked into the Diamondbacks?
It's the only big package I have. You know, the benefit of being a West Coast fan is that the Diamondbacks play so late. So sure. I'll probably still watch a ton of Diamondback games, but I will not go to the stadium and give them much of my money this year. You know, I'm usually good for at least 15 games a year. I'm probably going to make that 5 or 6.
And you know what the worst part about it is? You and I both think Goldie is going to be
he's going to be incredible.
He's going to be in the conversation of MVP this year.
He fits so well. He fits so well in St. Louis. Like, it just makes too much sense, you know. He looks like he's going to be a star there, and it's just going to be great.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, unfortunately for most people, like, you know, the anger is gone. The disbelief. I mean, maybe it'll come back in the baseball podcast later this week. It's possible. I let a lot of mine out on the internet. Bogman, yeah. You probably let a lot out on your stomach.
Carl's Jr.
Carl, did you go to Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, well, I will be going.
Can we record it?
Yeah, well, I'll be going. You know what? I think I'm just going to go to Carl's Jr. after every loss. So 100 Carl's Jr.
That's like
year.
The free tacos
that?
When they score six
I'm
runs.
To get
when
a sponsorship here, Carl's Jr. Let's go.
Every loss, Bogman goes to Carl's Jr. I like it. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's In This League.
Everybody is half win and half lose.
Okay.
The lose half is
Scott Bogman.
Right.
The winning half is
Chris Welsh.
Right.
In This League.
It's inside. It's where the fear lives.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Could you start over again?
Let's play ball.
In right. This league.
Why am I the losing half, Bogman?
We don't know that rejoin at all. We both jumped into all of it. We don't know any of that.
What are you
that.
Just playing, like, all the rejoins you've never played before?
Is I that guess. I'm just mixing it up. Hey, Bogman. I got something for you.
Okay. I'm ready.
While you're fixated in your college basketball bracket, I know you are, NFL teams are focusing on the NFL draft, and I know you are definitely focused on that.
I'm watching Hakeem Butler highlights right now.
All right, well. And for the serious fantasy footballers, it's never too easy to start preparing for the 2019 season, so Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. I wanted to say sensational. It's kind of sensational, the NFL 365 fantasy football package, but it's a math-based seasonal projections. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long, betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% right now at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off the promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. Yeah, you're deep in your NFL draft stuff. You want to give a little preview while people are going and signing up for the Roto Experts 365 package. Bogman, you've got some stuff coming up this week, big time for the NFL, ITL NFL football podcast.
Yeah, I've been, as they say, grinding the tape and all that good stuff, watching a lot of film and stuff. And I'm not a scout. You know, I do the best I can looking at these, you know, being the armchair scout and all that stuff.
Oh, don't undersell yourself.
looking at all this stuff. I don't know. I think there's some good running backs this year. There's not very good quarterbacks this year. And there's a lot of good wide receivers. I think we've got a nice deep class of wideouts this year. Tight ends are all right. You know what I mean? But when we're looking for fantasy stuff, we're going to have a lot of podcasts coming up this week. I'm going to go by position.
That's what I was getting at. I don't care about all the other stuff. What I'm getting at is, like, they're going to get all your breakdown that's coming up this week. You've got a NFL draft fantasy rankings that are going to be coming up, and the ITL Fantasy Football podcast feed is going to be fed with many of our NFL Draft Room War Room podcasts.
It's going to be like me and Carl's Jr. this week. So
you're going to fill
it's
up.
It's going to be like the Diamondbacks, the baseball season. It's going to be a lot of Carl's Jr. this week.
I really think that'd be an amazing sponsorship of, like, you get Carl's Jr. every time they lose. I think you should do it. You know what you should do? I'm just throwing this out here. I don't know if we can crowdfund this, but you might just be willing to accept this.
To pay it.
every loss, you should go to Carl's Jr. and do a video about the loss and at Carl's Jr.
Oh,
and
my God.
And we might be able to beat them down. We might be able to, like, get something going after, like, the 50th or 94th loss, and we've added Carl's Jr. Like, maybe it'll become a thing. And maybe we do it under one chain, by the way. You know how you do the chain tweets? Every loss is under the same chain. So at some point, someone can share the thread, and it's like, you know, 115 Carl's Jr. During the baseball season.
Oh, my God. If they lose 115 games, I'm going to have a stroke. So only lose 80.
What are you? So, will you commit to this?
Might have it. So
will you commit to this?
I mean, you're putting the screws to me right here. Pretty bad. I don't like that. So
I think it's an amazing idea.
I tell you what, I'm going to make it a plan. So I can't guarantee that I'll be able to make it to Carl's Jr. every single time. But for most losses, I will definitely be going by Carl's Jr. I also don't want to hate Carl's Jr. Diamondbacks could be really bad this season.
But maybe it'll make you be able
much of it.
Maybe, no pun intended, it'll be able to make you stomach the Diamondbacks a little bit better.
Maybe it will. You know, maybe they have a series against the Dodgers. I just eat, if it's a three-game series, I just eat, you know, three meals right up front for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because I know they're dropping all three of those games.
You could do that. So. I'm telling you, it would all be a hilarious series. And just video yourself on everyone. Talk about the loss for a second. Matt Carl's Jr. And you, what you do is the video starts with you making your order, and then you talk about the Diamondbacks until you get to the pay window. This is an amazing idea. I'm telling you, this is ingenious. You'll get an ad deal. You're going to get an ad deal.
I'm going to try and plan it. We're going to try to get this done every single day. So let's go.
All right. I like
Carl's Jr. I'm eating.
I'm eating and look forward to it. It'll be good. I'm really looking forward to the day where Craig Kimbrell has a job. This is not that
get
day.
Get a job, Craig Kimbrell.
This is not get a job, Grouch. This
get
is not
a job,
the day.
Grouch. Start closing, Grouch.
We've had a lot of weird stuff in the offseason, you know, some misdirection and stuff like this, and players kind of, we're waiting on players. There hasn't been one that has changed. I mean, I know some people could say, like, the Harper stuff and the Machado stuff, but I don't feel like there were, like, rumors. It just happened. It just happened. With Craig Kimbrell, every week, it's something new. At one point, he was a National. At one point, he's a Brewer. Now, we're getting information that it's down to two teams. Milwaukee, or the team I have said from day one that I thought should do it, the Atlanta Braves.
I want it to be Atlanta.
Hell
we've got
yeah.
more than enough options. We have more than enough options in Milwaukee. You know, I know some of them are getting hurt. I think Jeffers banged up. Knebel obviously has the elbow issues. So they're banged up there. I understand that. But we gotta get him in Atlanta. You know, A.J. Minter's hurt. Aroides Vizcaino probably will hold the job for a little bit too long. I want Kimbrell closing games in Atlanta. Let's do that.
Well, what's also so great about it is it doesn't demolish the value of Sean Doolittle, which, by the way, that report of those two teams, I mean, we can breathe a sigh of relief on Sean Doolittle.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. If you're a Doolittle owner, you're sitting pretty.
Or if you're a drafter this weekend, feel comfortable going in and getting your Sean Doolittle. But what happens here, who cares about Vizcaino and A.J. Minter? But if Kimbrell signs in Atlanta, first off, I think that's just a fantastic spot for him. It's a fantastic spot. It's good for the starters there. There's a lot of young pitchers there. It's good for the team that plans to be very highly competitive. But what it does, though, with Corey Knebel having a UCL issue, we don't know ultimately how serious it's going to be, but assume it's pretty devastating for the year. it moves Josh Hader, in theory, to the closer role. Now, the team is super weird about him. Even, like, there was a point where they gave the job to Jeremy Jeffress, but Jeffress is also banged up. So this opens up the opportunity for Hader to be the closer. There is 0.0% chance that guy is taken off of that role if he has 2 months of being the closer and he's going. They're not going to take him off of that. Maybe he just goes two innings or something like that. What that now has done is it's going, not only are you going to have Kimbrel, who's going to be in a magnificent spot, who's not going to be giving up any opportunities, and I think he can sit as a top seven closer. It doesn't kill Doolittle, and then it pushes Josh Hader from being, I don't know, anywhere from the 8th to 12th relief pitcher taken to what's probably the number 3 overall closer, 3 or 4 overall closer. So we've now just injected another elite closer into the pool if Josh Hader is given the opportunity.
It's funny. I'm looking at my relief pitcher rankings, and then there's just a big blank spot on team for Craig Kimbrel. It's the 22nd of March. I mean, yeah. I know these guys don't need much time to ramp up.
Well, Brad Ziegler said it on our show that,
yeah.
What did he say on the Fantasy Black Book with us? Brad said, like, you know, four innings. Four innings should get him good to go. The only problem is by Monday, everybody is kind of returning home for the last little couple games of a series. But that does mean, though, he could sign like today or Sunday and he could get a game or two in. And maybe, you know, maybe he has like a, I mean, there's unfortunately you can't get a rehab assignment in.
But I'm sure he's been doing his own training, too.
And there's also extended spring training. People forget about that. Right. In the minor leagues on both the GCL and the AZ, and well, I should say the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League, the minor league games are going through the season beginning. So he could go and, you know, have back-to-back days of pitching against some minor leaguers. If he signs by Sunday, he can actually get ready for the season start.
Yeah, I'm ready for him to just have a job. Okay, so Craig Kimbrel, where do you have him right now with no team as far as relief pitchers go? I know you're a Craig Kimbrel fan. So yeah,
I'm a San. I'm a Kimbrel San.
Is it Stan? Is
Stan.
It fan?
Yeah,
Stan?
It's Stan.
Where did that come from? Is that supposed to be like Stan from Eminem?
I don't
like
know.
The guy who wrote him. Is that what it's supposed
I'm
to be?
I'm just saying popular words. So
I know you are and you're old, but I also know that you in general know the themes that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like I got annoyed because everyone started saying unit. And then you started saying unit about, you know, fat guys. You know, look at this unit. Anything that's fat is a unit. Look at this cat is an absolute unit. Now there's a subreddit called Absolute Unit. You know,
is there really?
100%. It's all fat cats.
So Stan means kids. A crazed or obsessed fan. Oh, maybe that's Eminem.
That's what it was from Eminem. It's from the Eminem.
It does.
Song.
The term comes from the song Stan by Eminem. So that's what it is.
Okay. Because I heard Spore drop it on our show, and Spore's, you know, younger and hipper than us.
That's
so
true.
I was like, I know that's a thing, but where did the thing come
that's
from?
That's what it so. Is. So that's what it is.
Okay.
Stan. Yeah, I got Kimbrel. I think I'm still putting him at 5. I did have him above Chapman midway through spring training, just not worrying about it.
Right.
But like at this moment, if I'm drafting this weekend, I can't take Kimbrel over Chapman right now. I have
Kimbrel ranked ahead of Chapman right now, but I don't know that I've been drafting Kimbrel ahead of Chapman. I do have one share of Kimbrel, and I don't know if I have any shares of Chapman.
I think I've got one share of Chapman in the AL only, and I've got two shares of Kimbrel, one in TGFBI and one in a keeper league. But here's what I would love to get. I'd love to get just a little teeny beady little bit of information on Hader. I'd love to hear the Brewers if Kimbrel signs. I'd love to hear the Brewers, especially before my drafts, just come out and be like, Hader's our guy. Like, we're not worried. We got Hader. Because if I knew Hader is a full-time closer with the Brewers,
Where would you put him?
He's at worst 4 overall. I really still have a hard time not taking Kenley Jansen. I got Jansen over Trinan, by the way. I'm going to put Hader at 3. Yeah, Hader's going to be at 3. I would put him over Trinan. And I know that's blasphemous for some people.
So you have Diaz, Jansen, and then Hader.
Yeah. And I think Hader might deserve to be number 2, to be honest with you. The strikeouts are ridiculous.
He'd easily be number 1 at the end of the year. So
probably. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if we have that, like, let's say you have a draft on Sunday. If Kimbrel were to just sign, let's say, today, on Saturday, and then the Brewers are like, don't worry about it. We got Hader. We're comfortable. I'm taking Hader over Kimbrel.
Yeah, I think I am too, especially if we get, you know, the news that that Knebel's going to be out for a long time. So, oh, God,
I'm looking at haters.
Okay, so hold on. What if Knebel, like Knebel, they shut him down for 3 weeks. He comes back. He's pitching mid-May.
I mean, dude, he has a UCL strain. He's going to be out for a bit.
Hey, but Tanaka had the same thing. I know Tanaka's like the one instance of it being good.
But he was gone for a month. It's not. It was like a month or 6 weeks. Like, if Hader's given the job for more than a couple weeks,
Think it's just going to be Hader? And
why would they relinquish
Bivel
it?
For Shizzle, all about Bivel.
Yeah, why would you take him out of that if he's successful? Unless he's blowing saves. Why?
I think just because of the analytics and the way that they show what is supposed to be going on.
Yeah, but at that point, why not just have Knebel be that guy? It just doesn't make sense to me. If you have a successful closer that has been doing the job for a month, that's where they have been primed to be. He can go two innings. He's your closer. Steamer right now has, and I don't know if they've updated anything off of this stuff, he's projected at 18 saves with a 2.9 ERA.
I mean, your logic is sound. I'm not trying to question your logic at all.
Yeah,
I'm playing devil's advocate here because there are plenty of teams that do things that are not, you know, sound like that. I mean, why would you have an opener? You know what I mean? Like, we went to that this year or a lot this past season. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. By the way, there was just this Game of Thrones commercial on. I don't know if you've seen the updated one.
Your Game of Thrones.
Hello.
Thing.
Yep. This table just moved up a little bit.
Oh, a little Daenerys?
I mean, just a little bit of everything in that show. Let's go. So,
by the way, you're a month away.
April 14th.
My birthday. My birthday, less than 1 month now. My birthday was 1 month from March 22nd.
Get all your PS4s ready.
Yeah, I'm going to see a lot of PS4s. I think Game of Thrones debuts on my birthday.
No, it said April 14th.
Oh, is it April 14th?
Your birthday is like the 22nd, right? 23rd?
It's the 22nd.
The 22nd, okay.
So I thought there was a show. There's some show that is on my birthday, because isn't it? Oh, I guess no, I'm on a Monday. Maybe it's Better Call Saul comes back.
Maybe it's Better Call Saul. I watched last season.
So
been gone for a long time, Better Call Saul?
Yeah, it always is gone for a while.
Okay.
But this is the year that they are going to like intertwine scenes from Breaking, like he's going to be in the Breaking Bad universe this time, like the timeline.
Well, getting back to Kimbrel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Kimbrel.
God. All right, so Kimbrel signs with Atlanta. Where does he go on your list? He's ahead of Chapman again?
Yes, he's ahead of Chapman. And Chapman
goes to
six.
He's below Trinan.
Yes.
So he's four.
Five, because Hader.
Five, because Hader. So you're already bumping up Hader, even pre-injury news.
Yeah, well, Knebel's not coming back anytime soon.
Mm.
I don't believe he's coming back in a week or two. By that standard, I don't see a scenario how he lets go. Here's the other thing.
It's officially a UCL strain?
Yeah, let me...
That's what they're calling it?
Yeah, I mean, what's his face? Craig Counsell came out and was talking about it. Let me see.
Because I thought it was second opinion time. Like, I thought that's where we stood here. Knebel elbow will seek multiple opinions for specialists, and the Brewers don't expect to have a plan for him for another week or so. Slight tear in his right elbow for years. He's been playing with it for years.
Yeah, they acknowledge
that. Checked out to see how much more damage he's done. He's not dealing with a complete tear, so it's possible he could choose the rest.
Yeah, there's a partial UCL tear. That's in there.
That's not good. Okay, no. Yeah. All right, so yeah, I guess Hader does have to go up.
And
so.
Luckily, he's still, like, I think he puts up close to, like, top five reliever numbers, even if he's not getting a boatload of saves. So there's kind of a built-in, you know, like, cushion if he does relinquish a job at some point, or the Brewers
so
do some stupid thing.
Is it crazy to take Hader one? One among relief pitchers, obviously.
Without like assurance where they're like, hey, you know what? Hader's a guy all season long. No doubt. We're not bringing anybody else in. Without that, like, yeah, taking him over Jansen and Edwin right now, I think that's dicey. I mean, I know I'm just
called him Edwin.
That what? Rats.
You called him Edwin instead of E5. You've been calling him E5 for the last couple.
I think some people would say Trinan. I wouldn't really try to disagree with you on that. Aroldis Chapman, I'm weird on Chapman this year. I'm weird on him because I feel like He's just in this weird spot with so many good relievers there.
Batances is hurt already.
Yeah, but Zach Britton, is there. They also got Green. They got too many guys in there. I'm just a little weird on him. I just don't think you could. Hader might end up being the number one guy. If it's not save holds, I can't mess with that. I can't do it. So okay. When we come back, we got a whole nother hour coming up. More fantasy baseball conversation right here on In This League. Don't you go anywhere.